When Kenyatta entered Malcolm's office, he was on the telephone. He waved her in to sit down when he saw her at the door. Carol was right. Malcolm Patterson was fine. Her gaze traveled over the angular lines of his face, the thick lashes framing chocolate eyes, his wide nose and full lips, accented by a perfectly trimmed goatee. He was sexual temptation in a 6'3" package. But it was more than that. He had confidence that borderlined on arrogance at times, and a presence that automatically drew attention. He was never cocky, but didn't hesitate to let you know what he thought or when he was right. When Malcolm hung up, he turned to Kenyatta and looked at his watch. "You're late." "It won't happen again," she said. He nodded. "Come over and look at these plans." Kenyatta crossed the room and stood beside him. She was immediately aware of the spicy scent of his cologne and the heat of his body. She gave a mental shake of her head and took a few steps away from him. Oblivious to her discomfort, Malcolm pointed to the plans. "Jeremy turned this over to me earlier today, but had to leave before I could go over it with him. Could you explain why you changed the original design?" His question wasn't accusing, only curious. For the next few minutes, Kenyatta went over the design. She moved to the other side of the table and leaned over so she could point out a detail. When Malcolm didn't respond, she looked up to see if he understood. Malcolm wasn't looking at the drawings. Kenyatta's gaze followed his. The neckline of her shirt hung loosely, giving him a perfect view of her breasts in the red silk bra she wore. Embarrassed, she stood up abruptly. He took a small step toward her and her heart raced. Would he kiss her? Would she stop him if he did? Just as quickly as it arrived, the moment was gone as he cleared his throat and looked away. "Yeah, I see why you changed the design." Kenyatta shook off the moment and his brusque change. "Did you need anything else?" Her voice was breathless, and she hated that her reaction to him was so obvious. When he faced her, any trace of the earlier desire was gone. "I'd like for you to do the presentation in Jeremy's place. Are you interested?" "Yes, of course I'll do it," she said, bouncing with excitement. He looked at her hands, which were clasped in front of her.
"I guess congratulations are in order."
He motioned to her left hand. She could have sworn there was disappointment in his voice, but she dismissed it. There was no reason for him to have feelings about her engagement, yet she still covered her left hand with her right. "It's more of a promise ring than anything." He raised an eyebrow.
"Aren't we a bit old for promise rings, especially one that expensive?"
"I think it's sweet."
"I think it's a sign of someone who doesn't want to make a commitment."
She frowned. "Brad does want to make a commitment."
"Then why give you a promise ring? What is he, 12?
"It's not a promise ring, okay? He asked me to marry him."
"So my assumption earlier was right, and congratulations are in order."
"It's kind of early for that."
"Why? If he asked and you're wearing the ring, you must have said yes. Unless you're rethinking your answer."
He hit too close to home. She straightened her shoulders. "No, I love Brad and have no reason to change my answer." His eyes bore into hers.
"Maybe you're waiting for someone else."
She shifted from foot to foot, anxious to get out of his office. "There isn't anyone else. What do you care anyway?" He blinked and shook his head.
"I don't care. I saw the ring and thought I'd be the first to congratulate you. You're the one who took us around in circles for no damn reason."
Her anger flared.
"I didn't take us in circles. I'm crazy happy and in love with Brad."
then marry him. I am. Fine. Congratulations. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have a conference call in 20 minutes I need to prepare for.